Let me move this this here. We're glad you're here, Sam.
I was almost tempted to sit in that chair, but by everybody's response, I didn't want to, you know. I'm going to take everybody else's word. It's done been voted out. But no lumbar rest. I mean, there's your vote right there, that lumbar rest. I remember when we got these, Pastor sold that lumbar rest real good. And I have just been praying and believing God. And there's one thing I need you kids to do. I need some of you kids to be mean so that you don't get the candy, so there's enough candy for Brother Sam when he leaves. Just joking, you kiddies. But I was praying this week, and, you know, I work with a lot of people. And if you'll put Galatians 6:7 up, and I've worked with some people for 24 years on my job, and I know the people. Some of the people profess Christianity. Some people profess television Christianity. They have a certain preacher they listen to. They won't go to church. People go through divorces. People go through stuff. You know, if you work with, say you work with 40 people, and you think your life is messed up, and you come to church, and you're a tither, and you're doing everything you know to do for God, you should listen to some of the people that ain't serving God. You should listen to some of the people that ain't got it right. And if I just mention one of the problems with one of my buddies today, I mean, it makes my life, any of the bad stuff in my life, look like I had it all together. But, you know, I pray with them, and I do the best I can. And sometimes there's really stuff that I don't know what to tell the guy. He's going through a divorce. You know, he's wanting to give his wife his whole 401k. I just said, dude, that's what you pay your lawyer for. Whatever your lawyer tells you got to do and her lawyer, you just do it. You listen to your lawyer. And, you know, I notice in my own life, every time I try to listen to God and do what God tells me to do, I come out on top. Every time I don't, I come out somewhere wishing I would have listened to God. I mean, and you can call it whatever you want, but in Galatians 6:7 it says, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Or as it says in the King James, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he reap. And you know, in Malachi 3, it says, in 3:6, I believe, it says, I am the Lord God. I change not. Sometimes God tells you something, and you override what God tells you, and it may come up, the seeds of that rebellion or the seeds of that bad decision may take years before they come up. But if God's not going to be mocked, and the Lord doesn't change, what difference does it matter? But no matter what decision you do, and it says deceived, to make believe something that is not true. So sometimes, every time I've ever overrode the voice of God, every time I've ever tried to override the voice of God. See, I remember when I called my sins, oh, I have some problems. No, I had some sins in my life that I wasn't doing things according to God's word. And it was never going to be made right because God don't change. God's word don't change. So be not deceived. God is not mocked. Remember, this deceived to make believe someone that something that is not true. And it's usually if somebody's trying to make you believe something's not true, oh, God will understand that. You don't have to get married right now. God will understand that. Usually to get some advantage. Now, the devil doesn't do nothing different than he's done. He started lying to Eve in the Garden of Eden. And he said, did God really say that? And the devil tells me all the time, you know, oh man, you know, the devil tries to get in your mindset. You know, during a worship service, the last couple worship services, sometimes I work and I do several different things. I got several different things going on. Sometimes things try to come on my mind, and I know that I'm supposed to be worshiping God. I know I'm supposed to come in here with a mindset to worship God. And several times, right during praise and worship, Satan comes and tries to steal my worship that I'm giving God. I had to put my hands on my own head and say, I command you, mind, to be still. I command you, mind, to focus on the things of God. Because the devil will take your mind and he will try to steal everything God's trying to do for you right now in this service. He'll try to steal. There's a word of the living God coming from me right now, coming from God through me, and the devil wants to steal it before it even gets there. All right, God is not mocked. So the word mocked, to be disrespectful. Disrespectful and to dishonor. You know, have you ever seen kids dishonor their parents in the store? Be disrespectful. Then they become teenagers and they go out and do what they want to do. And if you've ever watched some godless people, I mean, They're really the worst. But you know, if we're children of God, we're supposed to be trying to listen to God and do what God says. And you know, even when I haven't listened to God and haven't did what he said, as long as I've never just quit God and I said, God, I'm sorry. And I've humbled myself. God takes those situations and turns around for my good. And that mock really says that when you'll mock God, that you have no fear of God. And fear doesn't mean that God's going to stop you or kill you like a roach. But fear means, man, that you need to learn to reverence God and respect God. Respect. I mean, we try to make kids and people respect the house of God. When we're worshiping, we want everybody to stand up. Sometimes I'll see some kids sitting down. You know, I used to think, oh, their parents are going to get mad. I just go over and say, hey, would you stand up and honor God with us? You know, and if they look at me half cross-eyed, I say, is there something you want from God? Because if you want something from God, I'd be standing up. Usually a little kid will stand up. Usually a teenager will stand up. I've even had some thugs stand up, you know. And, I mean, what am I going to do? Am I going to listen to God? And we got people in our own families that don't live Christian lives, and the devil's trying to chump us and tell us we don't need to tell them they need to live right. Man, God is not going to be mocked by our children, by our grandchildren. I'm just going to be a man of God, whether I'm at work. And there's some people, they don't even want to hear what you got to say about God. I'm just going to say, hey, I love you. I'm praying for you. You know what? I'm going to try to be the Christian that the devil wakes up. When I wake up in the morning, he's running. He's already scared. So in Romans 8 and 14, the Bible says, for as many as that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Is anybody a son of God in here? So we all hear the voice of God. And you know, sometimes when I can't hear the voice of God or something's coming against my mind, that's why I got a pastor. That's why I got a friend. That's why I got a brother, Ernie. I'll call him and say, Ernie, I'm about to do this. I'm about to, you know, pray with me about it. And if I really don't know what I'm doing, I'll say, come and look at this mower I'm about to buy before I get beat out of $100 or something. And I'll ask his advice. But, you know, if we got the Spirit of God living inside of us, whether we're buying a car or a house or whether we're making a decision to go on vacation, we need to get the green light from God. In Romans 8 and verse 11, while we're right here, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead lives in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by a Spirit that dwells in you. I was sitting in a lawyer's office, and a real estate deal was going down several years ago, and I had this sick feeling in my stomach, and I could hear like something ain't right, but there was nothing I could do about it at that time. And later on, I found out the girl that we sold the house for didn't have the authority to sell the house. And me and the girl's aunt that works with me, that was technically her job, but it was my job too because I was part of the people buying it. We had to buy that house and set it up where he can get it in his own thing, or we could have got sued. But I was feeling it, but I didn't act on it. So if you're feeling it, you should act on it. Don't go get yourself. Now, like I told Pastor, I've been very fortunate in life that every time I make a mistake, if I humble myself and say, God, I don't want to make these mistakes no more, God takes and turns around where if this works out, I'll at least break even. We'll sell the house, He'll pay for it, but if it works out really good, we'll make $5,000 to $10,000 to split a piece like it was supposed to. But that should have never happened because I should have been hearing the voice of God inside. And so there's no reason why you should get into any relationship or even a job. You know, all the last couple of weeks, people have been getting stepped down from where I worked that have been in management for 30 years, and all of a sudden they're winding up on the floor from a nice cush job, having to do crappy jobs that I wouldn't even want to do. Either that, or they told them they could go out and not have a job, and there's several people like that. So what do you think the devil tells me? Hey, they're going to be dissolving your job, making room for some more people to come and take your job. I have to, once again, I have to get authority over my mind because the devil's going to come lie to you. Because you know what God told me? The spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead said, I shouldn't be worried about my job. If my job did get dissolved, that means God's got a better job for me. That means God's looking to promote me and give me an opportunity to make twice as much. You know, because I'm a son of the living God. I told Ernie about this dream I had a few days ago. I've been sleeping a little better because I take some scriptures about, you know, be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication, let your requests be known to God and the peace of God that passes all understanding. But I was sleeping and I had this dream and I was in this stadium, and in this dream, this stadium was full of people. That was 100 times bigger than where we're at right now. And all these people were depressed. And all these people were heavy laden. And the team was losing. And the team was losing. And then I took over announcing the game and started saying, you don't have to lose. You don't have to lose. You don't have to lose this game. Step it up. Cheer for this team. Get in the spirit of winning. You guys ain't losers. And the next thing I know, the team started winning. But when I would come back, that depression, when I would not talk and speak at that microphone, that depression and that losing part would come back on. But then when I got back up there, all of a sudden I looked around and the fire of God was falling from heaven on all these people's heads. The fire of the anointing of God was coming on and the team started winning. And everybody in there went from depression to praising and worshiping God. And you know, there is a spirit of depression that comes on us from the world. The people in the world are so heavy laden, but we're not supposed to be getting that spirit of depression from the world, the spirit of the losing situation. We're not supposed to focus on those decisions we might have made in the past. Kelly spoke about it this morning about cutting loose your past. Forget about your past. This is a new day. This is a new year. God wants to do brand new things in your life. He wants to give you godly relationships. He wants to give you blessings. And I'm ready for the blessings. Is anybody else? But more than that, I'm ready for the fire of God to fall on me and break any yokes. In Isaiah 10 and 27, and it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulders and off his yoke from thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. The anointing shall destroy the yoke. You know, the anointing, and I looked up for that word, under the anointing it was an oil. The oil, the anointing oil of God. And the scripture where it says, therefore through Christ who strengthens me, I can do all things. The word Christ is the anointed one. So the anointed one's given us his Holy Spirit to break every yoke of bondage. And you know what? I know about family spirits, familiar spirits. I have a family that came up in poverty, and whatever they had to work with. And there was always a lack, and there was always a voice of lack, a voice of sickness, a voice of not doing what you should do, you know, a voice of fear. But, you know, in my life, I've had to break off that fear of poverty. I've had to break off that fear of sickness because I'm a child of the Most High God, and it says, by his stripes I'm healed. Now, I got sick the other day, so am I going to cry and bellyache and lay down and die? I thought I was, because I haven't been sick in 2 years. But, you know, after I rose up and came to church, I felt a whole lot better. After I stood up in church, and even though I was feeling sick and said, I'm healed, I felt a whole lot more better. And the next couple days, I felt so good I was out doing the things I like to do again. Because that sickness can't stay on me. It may try to come, and it may try, but the devil can't kill you unless you just lay down and die and let him. So what my point of my message here, and another thing that I've been doing, because I can only preach out of my life, is Matthew 11:28. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, come unto me. I noticed, I think Pastor and Kelly may have been saying something like this. You can't just expect God to bring you the rest. You got to come to God and say, God, I'm wore out. I've been fighting this fight on my own. I've been trying to make these bills on my own. I've been worried and anxious. This ain't you, God. I'm coming to you and I need that rest. And it says, take my yoke. Can I have the next verse in verse 29? Heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. If your mind's being attacked, your soul ain't going to get no rest. If you don't fully trust God, a young lady that's been coming to our meeting that sits on that side today, she told me she had to pay all of her bills and she was running short. And I told her, you just got to trust God. And I got to do the same thing. I told the pastor I cut my whole check in a little bit and just paid everything. But in doing that this week, I saved $25 or $30 in late charges. But, you know, I believe God for the harvest. Sometimes you just got to do what God tells you to do. And I believe that this is going to be the greatest year ever. I believe that some real estate sales is happening this week. I believe that another real estate closing is happening a week from tomorrow. And that's going to happen. I mean, sometimes you just got to believe God and go with what God tells you to do. And sometimes that's not easy because you're fighting your flesh. But be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever we sow, we're going to reap. And you know, the other day when I was feeling like, oh, I ain't going to make it, I found somebody that I knew didn't have nothing, and I sold them $20. And, you know, one of my religious friends, and they didn't want to take it. I said, do you got any money? They go, no. And I said, well, take it. I mean, do what you need to do with it. Just pray a blessing over me. And, you know, pray for my harvest. I'm believing for a harvest. But there's something you got to do, you know. It's even this, take my yoke upon you. We got to want what God wants for us. And so I heard the story this morning about Joel Osteen, and he was in heaven, and he was walking with the angel, and there was all these rooms, and there was all these names on it, and he wanted to know what was in these rooms, and they said, don't worry about it. We're taking you to see Jesus. And he got to a room that was his name on it. He said, hey, this has got my name on it. I want to see what's in there. And he made a demand on seeing that. And then when the angel opened the door, there was a warehouse full of blessings that he didn't get because he didn't believe for it. He didn't think he had that coming. And Joel, I think Joel's one of the most blessed guys I know. So, you know, I mean, some of us just wish we could write a book and be half as blessed as Joel. But if Joel's got some up there that he ain't tuck, man, there must be some that they can ship to us. Take my yoke, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light, Jesus is saying. And the anointing, richness, fruitful, fat, perfume, liquid as from olive, perfumed, shine. The anointed one, Christ. Is anybody out here can do all things through Christ who strengthens them? In Hebrews 12:29 and Deuteronomy 4:24, it says, our Lord, the Lord is a consuming fire. There's things in our life that ain't good we want to give over to God. Man, I've been loving Kelly preaching the last few Sunday mornings. I don't know who stood up last week, but man, sometimes in my life, because of my own mistakes, because of things, I'm not sure. I'm thinking every message that's preached is for me. And Pastor said something about, do you feel like your life could fall apart at any minute? If you're ever in the real estate business and you got money coming from a deal, them deals can fall apart any minute. And you know what? I believe God's got me, But I believe I need more of God every day, so I'm never afraid to humble myself. You know, in I believe Chronicles where it says to humble yourselves. It's Solomon, the prayer of Solomon. We prayed it for the president election. I can go there, but I'm going to 2 Chronicles 7 right now, and that is 7:14. Second Chronicles, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. Yeah. Chronicles, the Old Testament. I like that verse. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. In 2 Chronicles 7:1-3 says, now when Solomon, go up to the 1:2-3, the same chapter you're at. When Solomon had made an end of praying, and the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good and his mercy endureth forever. If we're ever going to see the fire of God fall on us, we need to humble ourselves. We need to humble ourselves and say, God, I've messed it. And even if I don't haven't messed it this week, I've messed it sooner or later. I don't want to mess it anymore. God, I don't want to mess it tomorrow. I don't want to mess it and be in the flesh. God, I don't want to mock you. The worst thing that a person could do is deceive their own self and let the devil deceive you through like lies that, oh, you don't have to do everything the Bible says. Oh, you're going through recovery? You don't have to stay away from your old friends that's doing drugs. You're an alcoholic. Oh, you can go back there in the bar and sit and have a Coke and talk with your old friends. You know, the devil's got a million different lies for a million different situations. But don't be deceived. Just listen to God and do what he says. And that's what I had. I'm looking for a fire of God anointing. Just like Kelly was preaching this morning, I was feeling that this morning. And I pray for that same fire to hit our lives and his voice to hit our hearts.
God, we're hearing messages for the first part of the year to set the year, the tone that we're going to set for this year. And one of the hardest things to do is, for some people, for some things, is to turn some things loose. And you can't have the new and have the old also. Sometimes you just have to cut some things loose. So we know that, so let's just keep that in mind. And, you know, we talk a lot here about what's happening here, what the Word of God says about here, what's happening right now here. And what's important about that is what you learn here in this life, and you learn about relationships, you learn about yourself, you learn about purity, you learn about finances, so many things, faithfulness. Is what you learn here, you're working it out. You're working out your salvation as you work out these different areas in your life. That's just really what it's all about. And it's not like when you go to heaven, you can just not do anything here and go to heaven. I mean, when you get to heaven, what's it going to be? It's going to be what you've learned, what you can do. We're not going to be given a harp and sit on a cloud. We're going to be where we've got a calling. It's exciting. It's a reward. It's wonderful. But people that learn here, the more you learn here, and what can you learn here? Everything in your life, the Bible and God has a way of doing things, and we need to understand that and pursue that and grasp that for our own lives. Amen. I'm just going to say this real quick. We haven't mentioned today. Sweetheart Banquet, the 9th of February, 6:30. It's a Saturday night, and you're all invited. We hope that you can get your sweetheart or come. Just come expecting to find a sweetheart, if this is your year to get a sweetheart. But we love you, and we believe in you, and it's high time. You'd have no reason why not to believe in yourself, and that the things that God does for one, he'll do for the other. The King James says he is no respecter of persons. Anybody that will meet the requirement, and they're not that hard to meet. They're not impossible to meet. But anyhow, stand to your feet with me, please, and let's go to the Word. And let's a final look at the Word, a final blessing on this service. And God certainly is looking after us and helping us. And lift up your hands, and may I just say, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up this new year and all the blessings that he has for you. And may you get every blessing that he has for you and have more peace about your life and your circumstance than ever before. And everyone said, amen. Amen. And kids, we're going to be giving you one of these things here. Just line up. Everybody line up. Line up. And you don't open these until we get out of the building. You understand that? Okay. Okay. Do you like these? Okay.